spanning the Valley of the Sun and all across the 48th state. This is the All Arizona Daily Download. Nothing but Arizona news stories on the Gatos and Chad Show.
Number three.
Let's pack Chase.
The Arizona Diamondbacks today announcing seating restrictions are going away starting May 25th. This lets season ticket holders go back to their original seats. You still have to wear a mask and are encouraged to social distance.
Okay, well, what if it's a sellout?
Yeah, it's different. It's a sellout. We're just going to push everybody around the field.
What were you laughing at? You don't think they can pack the building?
No, I don't think they can pack the building.
Well, opening day, 20,000.
20,000. Since then?
Okay. Not many.
Not many.
Not many.
Not many. So, well, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, look, you know, and baseball's one of those things where opening days are, minus Miami, opening days are pretty packed everywhere.
Right.
And then the next day it goes from 35,000 down to 11,500. Maybe on the weekends you might have a chance of putting 35,000. You got to, you know, the Dodgers coming in, big rivalry. Maybe the Yankees were in town.
Cubs.
Cubs. Yeah. Cubs everywhere. Like they, that's one of those teams that travels. Outside of that, you know, it's.
But I'm looking at the bigger.
You want to pack it? Tell them, hey, you know what? If you're not vaccinated, you have to go.
I'm looking at the bigger picture. It's better out there, so it means we can have more people in a stadium. Even though the Diamondbacks don't fill the stadium very often, it's still a good thing.
Absolutely.
But they're not doing what other teams are doing.
No.
They're not having vaccinated and unvaccinated sections.
Which are silly because most of those teams are doing it, but they're just letting people that are vaccinated sit in one area and wear a mask. They could sit anywhere anyways.
Right. If you're outside and you're vaccinated and you're at a game and the roof is open with the D-backs, why do you still have to wear a mask?
That is an odd thing.
I don't know. But at fans at Chase will still be required to wear a mask after May 25th. The team encourages social distancing. We're pushing through the pandemic. We are. And so if you want to, you know, if you want to pack the stadium, great. What I'd rather see is how can we pack the Suns arena?
That's
what they're
I'm
the
talking
ones
about
going
right
to the
now.
Playoffs.
Right.
That's the team that could win a championship this year. So how, if you're the Phoenix Suns, how do you do it? You got to go on it. You got to go. You're allowed in if you're vaccinated.
I think at some point in time.
They got 5,000 people there. That's it.
You feel comfortable. You're vaccinated. Come on. Let's watch this game. Let's pack it. And if you're not going to do that, here's the other thing. If you're only going to allow 5,000 in and then move it to a place that's a little bit more compact, make the other team uncomfortable.
Hmm.
Right?
Hmm.
The All Arizona Daily Download.
Number two.
Arizona kids getting COVID.
Well, Arizona is one of the states with the most COVID cases among children. So what we've been talking about the last couple of days is your 12 to 15-year-old is going to be able to get the Pfizer vaccine, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So parents are making that decision for their children. But if you look around, it's not good that Arizona is one of the states with the most COVID-19 cases among children. You know, what we've seen so far is that at least, you know, in a couple of school districts like Mesa, they say, okay, we're just going to let the kids not wear a mask. I don't know why you had to do that. School's almost over. Might as well try and keep them as safe as possible. But, you know, if you look at the country, about 22% of COVID cases are children. So this thing has changed. It's turned. We're not having the elderly, you know, get COVID and die nearly as much because most of them are vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so our children are the ones that aren't vaccinated yet. Are we doing a good enough job to keep them as safe as possible? Probably not.
But you're not going to. They're kids. Kids are going to run around. The minute you introduce them to one another, they're going to go do things. And it's still very, very, you have a better chance of getting hit by lightning and dying than you do dying from COVID if you're a child. At some point, you just let it take its course. You're going to have a chance sooner rather than later, maybe by the end of this month, to start getting kids, if you want to, vaccinated.
But if Arizona is number two in the nation,
yeah,
if Arizona is number two in the nation for deaths among children with COVID, we should pivot, shouldn't we?
Well,
we should
here's
do
the thing.
I don't want to be number two.
No, but you go and
50.
Look. You go and look, and you say, okay, it's like not all things are equal. right? It's
would you rather be number two or number 50?
Well,
I'd rather be number 50.
Yeah, but
so what can we do to pivot?
We act like we got 400 or 500 or 1,000, and then number 50 has one. When you realize there's just not a lot in between them, and if you go and look at how many, like, underage, as far as, like, was it 16 below, and you look at the age group compared to everywhere else, this is kind of the way it's going across the country. Kids are getting it. Younger generation's getting it because they're back out doing things, and the older generation is vaccinated.
But that's only part of it. The other part is the new variant from the UK, children are getting it much quicker, much easier, and then they're not, you know, they're suffering from it. So is there something Arizona can do? Because, well, we have the second most deaths among children with COVID.
We can tell them to stay back home. I don't think that's something we can. We already got that genie out of the bottle.
The All Arizona Daily Download. Number one.
100 degrees.
All right.
Ooh.
Thank you, Becky Lynn. That was fantastic. So it happened at about 2:30 today, and we hit 100 degrees. So, you know, it's bound to happen. I just wonder when it's going to happen. And, you know, I thought we looked at the weather report and said, oh, well, it looks like this week we're going to hit it two or three times. So Phoenix has hit triple digits first time this year. And this is kind of right on schedule for the Valley.
Is this the last time it's going to hit? Oh, no.
No. I mean, we typically see 100, our first 100 degree day around early May. It is around early May. So this is 2:30 p.m. today. We hit 100 degrees. The earliest triple-digit day recorded in the Valley, okay, was, and this stinks, March 26, 1988. That's really early.
Where were you? You're probably in Syracuse.
I was in high school.
Oh, wow.
I believe I was in high school.
Oh, it was at Iglet, mate. It was not 100 degrees there. I can promise you that. Not much.
Now, do you know what the highest temperature in Arizona is, the all-time record?
Is it 122?
122. June 26th, 1990.
We came close a few times last year, right, Becky?
I don't want to break that record.
I was here for that one.
You were here for that?
Yeah, for the 1991. Yeah, the 122.
Did you go out for a jog?
No, I did not. But you know what? We were barely here. We had just moved here late 89. So it was all very, ooh, this is weird. Ooh, let's go see what it feels like. Now it's like, go in and shut the door. Let's cancel everything.
Ooh. Well, I remember I got home from my honeymoon 8 years ago or so, and that day was 119.
Yeah.
Turned to 120.
That was at June, right?
Yeah.
So I moved to Palm Springs not too long. Like, it was the first week I was in Palm Springs. Jack came out with me. It was June 13th, and it was almost 100 years to the day that the world record was set, not too far from there, in Death Valley. And it was 120. It was the grossest. Jack and I went outside. We turned around, walked right back in. We're like, this is not going to do it. I don't know who you are. Now I love it. I love the heat.
Yeah, I don't mind the heat. I get very cold in 70-degree temperature. I really do. Where's my long underwear? I've got to put it on. It's 68 degrees. Oh.
I go outside, embrace it. I'm like, who wants to golf? Nobody but me.
That's right. You're out on the golf course
all
by yourself.
Day. I'm going to be out there tomorrow. Arizona Daily Tadlow has been brought to you by Parker & Sons Plumbing and Electrical, the two-time winner of the Better Business Bureau's Ethics Award.
All right, we got to tell you about the craziest COVID story of the week.
Uh-oh.
There are some doozies, but there's one that takes...
The cake?
Takes the pie? What is it?
The cake.
The cake?
The pie.
I don't know.
There's a lot of weird sayings today around this office.
Yes, there is. It's all coming up on the Gatos of Chat.
Arizona's news station. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Serious news. Seriously entertaining. The Gatos and Chat Show.
KTAR.com. The Gatos BQ poll question of the day.
BQ.
Brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. I hop on Mike Broomhead Show at 8:45. Bring him huge ratings.
You make it sound like you're like Donkey Kong. Like you hop on, jump.
Well, I'm from home. I turn on the Gatos 3000, you know, in my beautiful studio, which is basically a table with a little Gatos 3000 thing on it. And I texted Broomhead yesterday. I said, listen, you know, you were a little low energy. Can you try and step it up today when I come on? And he was pretty good. He was pretty good. Go listen to his podcast if you want. Anyway, Gatos Big Q poll question. You can vote at KTAR.com. What is the strangest COVID story of the week so far? We've done three weird stories. I mean, a lot of them are weird, but A, Washington State restaurants will have vaccinated and unvaccinated sections. I love it. I don't want to sit with the unwashed, do you?
Look how very class system of you.
It's so
tell
terrible.
Those peasants to stay outside. They're my serfs. You should know that by now.
B, Washington, D.C. bans dancing at weddings.
That right there was my choice.
Do you know that Mike Broomhead hates going to weddings just like you do?
That's why we're pals.
It's amazing. You guys aren't in for like a decent meal.
No.
None of that stuff.
The last wedding I went to was my buddy Johnny Toot.
Radio. What is it?
Johnny Toot. His name is Scotty.
His last name is Toot?
No, it's not. But that's his radio name. Everybody knows him. And he has anxiety like you've never, ever seen a human being. He won't drive. He's terrified. How he got a woman like his wife, Christine, I will never, ever, ever know.
Okay.
So they had this big wedding. And he's
Johnny
like,
Toot.
He's like, Chad, you have to sit in the front because you calm me down. And if I start to pass out, I need to know that you can catch me and then help me get through this.
Yeah. You were his blanket.
Yeah, you're and I'm just blanket. Like, dude, you work with me, bro. We're not that pally. I mean, we're friends. But
was it a good wedding?
I don't know. I was there for like an hour. Once he got through the thing, and I'm like, I'm an outie. I don't care. I got other things going on.
Took some food and left.
No, I didn't do that.
You didn't even take the food.
Nah, I didn't do that. I don't care about that stuff.
The other strange COVID story, COVID has in a way eliminated snow days. Kids will distance learn on Zoom when the weather is bad. So let's click the wedding thing. Here we go. 58%, number one answer, Washington, D.C. bans dancing at weddings. My goodness. I can't wait to get through this thing all the way. Dr. Fauci, as you like to...
Dr. Fauci. If you think you're going to go on a dance, I would highly suggest the dancing is it awakens the coronavirus and then it starts to stir. Have you seen Aliens? It's just like that, and then it's right onto you, and then out of it, you'll explode, and you just don't do it. If your best bet is to stay home forever.
Here's what Fauci said. I think he was on with
Jimmy Kimmel,
Wolf Blitzer.
No,
Before I let you go, Dr. Fauci, you and I are Major League Baseball fans. What inning are we in as far as this COVID pandemic is concerned?
What inning do you think we're in before we hear Fauci?
Well, if it's him, he would probably like to say, we're still warming up, but unfortunately, I have to give a regular answer. I don't know, like fifth, sixth, somewhere
bottom one.
Yeah. We haven't even started yet. It's not even. We're on the way to the arena and sports venue where I will throw out the first ball by rolling it to the center of the dugout.
All right. What does Chad think for inning?
I would say seventh, but he'll probably pick something, like I said, fifth, sixth, something like that.
I'd say top seven.
I would say we're going in between, right? We're getting ready to sing the song.
We're in the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah, we're in the seventh inning stretch.
Okay, all right. Fauci, what do we got? What inning are we in?
We're in the late innings, but it's not over. That's the thing we really got to get people to appreciate. We're going in the right direction. We're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
Answer the question.
But now's not a time to declare victory.
Answer the question, or I'm going to take your cane away and trip you up the stairs.
So you think the seventh, the eighth inning, or late innings? What inning you're talking about?
Oh, my goodness. Some people just won't answer a question.
How about the bottom of the sixth?
Hey, there you go. How you feeling about bottom six?
Well, that's better than what he would normally say.
Bottom six. I'll take that. Bottom six. It seems that President Biden is going to try and get vaccines to more rural areas.
Yeah.
He wants to bring the vaccine to people. I was reading an article the other day. You have people who are hesitant to take the vaccine. From what I understand from a few experts, it's getting, if you take them out of the equation, the bigger problem is getting the vaccine to people who can't get it or who have trouble getting it or, you know.
Yeah, but here's my thing, Gatos. Right. So
like a rural area.
But one of the reasons they say, OK, so you see what's going on in India right now. Right. It's horrific. Well, India, first of all, let's just talk about it. It's got 1.33 billion people for a place that shouldn't have 1.33 billion where most of them live. Secondly, Africa hasn't been hit. And one of the reasons the Ebola virus never escaped, because the reality is once you get out of the city, you're in a lot of very rural areas. It's not going from place to place because they don't travel like that. If you can get it to somebody who's rural, I'm not really worried about whether or not they get it, because chances are they're kind of closed off. That's one of the reasons Wyoming and Montana didn't get hit and Alaska didn't get hit really hard, is they're kind of rurally hard to get to. They're kind of closed off. So and some of those people, let's be real, they're not taking this thing.
Maybe not.
You know, they're not.
Well, they're having trouble getting it offered to them. Yeah. So maybe if it's offered, you can vaccinate some people.
Would you walk by their Trump sign? You better get off my lawn. I told the census guy the same thing.
Well, Fauci says we're in the sixth inning. I don't know if it was top or
bottom.
That was
good, though. I thought Fauci would say we're warming up still. Not quite sure. Spring training.
It's really the safest answer he could do.
Spring training.
We're in the sixth inning. All right. All right.
Have you heard Dr. Gottlieb, who also works with the administration?
No.
He's the exact opposite. He's like, yeah, we're already pretty much through this thing. We got stuff's going on. It's going to be good. We're fine.
Doing pretty good.
Worst is behind us. We might have a little bump here, but by the time we get to June, boom, we're going to be totally fine and smooth. How about that guy from Johns Hopkins? He was pretty much spot on.
He was good.
He was good. Get rid of that guy.
But they keep saying we're not going to reach herd immunity in America.
Well, no, but not the way we don't reach herd immunity with the flu.
Yeah, but in a pandemic, you want to reach herd immunity, and not enough people are going to get the shot. So I guess the president said we want to get to 70% of America who have at least one shot by July 1st or July 4th.
But we don't reach herd immunity, and this thing's going to slowly but surely start to die out.
Hopefully.
Because it's running out. That's one of the reasons it gets to the children right now, because it's bouncing off the people here, like all of us who've got it, and it's got nowhere to go. So it's looking for something. Who doesn't have the protection?
All right. Well, speaking of the children, will you get your child the COVID-19 vaccine? We're going to talk to a Valley parent who already did next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
You're locked in to the Gatos and Chad Show.
All right, so we might get an answer on one of the vaccines. Kids 12 to 15 could soon get the COVID-19 vaccine. That's Pfizer, right?
That's Pfizer.
Okay.
That's correct.
Well, Moderna is doing a study. And they've got 8 sites in the U.S. Phoenix is one of them. And they are vaccinating and getting ready to vaccinate children. And I know a lot of you Valley parents, you're trying to make this decision. Do I get my child the COVID-19 vaccine? Well, let's talk to a Valley parent who is ready to get her 2 young children the vaccine. Rachel Guthrie joins us now on KTAR. Hey, Rachel, I'm Gatos. He's Chad. How are you today?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing great.
Great.
So you want to put your children in a study where they would get the vaccine, correct?
So they are actually enrolled. They are in the study. It just, we're waiting for the go-ahead from Moderna to start with their age group.
Okay. How old are they?
Ollie is going to be 4 on Sunday, and Charlotte is 2.
Okay, so a 2- and a 4-year-old, and you're going to get them into the study. They're already there, and they're going to await getting the vaccine.
Correct.
Okay.
So it's a 2-part study. The first 750 participants are guaranteed to get the vaccine. And then the second part, which is a much larger group of children, they will split into 2 parts with a placebo and a vaccine group.
So your 2 kids are guaranteed to get the vaccine, right?
Correct.
Got it.
Okay. At least in this first one. So how did you come about this? I mean, they were, I understand you're a nurse. So people did you find out through the hospital, or was there somewhere where your doctor said, hey, you know, they're looking to try this with children. Would you be interested?
So, yes, I am a labor and delivery nurse here in the Valley. And my, I actually just delivered about 3 months ago, my 3rd. And my OB reached out to me because he was helping with the study. So they asked him to kind of oversee the study as the MD, mm-hmm. as one of the MDs. And he reached out when one of the local news stations wanted to interview him, as well as maybe any moms he knew that would participate. He reached out to me and gave me the information about the study. And we, as a family, jumped on the opportunity to sign up and be a part of this.
All right. So you have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. Rachel Guthrie is joining us. You have enrolled your kids here in the COVID-19 vaccine trial. They'll both receive Moderna. Why did you do it? Why did you decide, I want to do this for my children? This is a good idea. What went into that?
Well, my experience being vaccinated as a pregnant mom was a good experience. As a healthcare worker, I am all about getting people vaccinated and trying to create this herd immunity. And I really would love for I think everybody would love for us to be able to go back to whatever new normal we're going to be living with. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, we have to vaccinate our this youngest population, because although it has been shown not to affect them as severely in most cases, they still can spread it, and they're still in the community, and we want them to be able to go to school normally and to participate in activities, after school activities and sports. And in order to do that and keep them safe, we need to start vaccinating this younger population.
Talking to Rachel, a Country Valley parent who has enrolled her young children in the COVID-19 vaccine trial. Okay, what is your husband, your family, your friends, are they saying you're crazy? What's your biggest worry out of this? Because, you know, again, with certain things, we don't know what this is going to be like. Is this going to affect them in several different ways, you know, as they grow? But you got to have some little fear.
So my husband was totally on the same page. And honestly, our family, we all jumped at the fact. I actually have two nieces and a nephew who have already gotten the vaccine, because they started with the age group of 6 to up to 12. And then I have another nephew who will be in the same age group as my children. So we were all on board and actually all on the same page and excited about the opportunity to get our children vaccinated. Granted, there is some worry with any vaccination that you could have an allergic reaction or be one of the very few numbers that has a severe reaction. But to me, my experience with vaccinations in general and working in the healthcare industry, the benefits of vaccines far outweigh the risks. And with this vaccine, the way that it works, your body is being told to create antibodies, and you can't overdose with antibodies. They are trying to figure out the proper dosage to give to kids. However, being overdosed with this isn't a risk, because, like I said, your body can't create too many antibodies, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think people listen and they say, you know, so I can just hear some of our audience says, well, your kids are really young. They should be okay. They're 4 and 2. Not a lot of 4-year-olds and 2-year-olds are going to get COVID. And I think it's the age thing that's going to stick out when you know, people listen to us interview you later on our podcast or what have you. Does that concern you at all? Because I think that's the, like, for me, it's the only thing, that's the age. These two, you know, 4 and 2, they're not really getting sick. So why not wait?
Well, they don't know that. And they don't know what the different strains are going to do. Just like the flu has variants every year, they don't know what the different strains of COVID are going to do. And in my mind, I would rather protect my kids with whatever opportunity I have to protect them. And they still have the opportunity to be carriers. So if we are around elderly family members who are immunocompromised or friends who have not yet been able to be vaccinated, they could still be carriers if they've been exposed and just be asymptomatic. And I would rather prevent them from having that issue, as well as with my little 3-month-old, they could bring it home to her, who can't be vaccinated at this point.
Hey, did you, when they vaccinated you, I mean, obviously, you know, I guess if you had had it, there's a good chance that you could have passed the antibodies off. Was there any thought, hey, you know, am I going to pass this off, or, you know, with the baby, or could this harm the baby before you had your child?
I definitely, because healthcare workers were offered the vaccine at such an early stage, I definitely took some time to think about it, but I discussed it with my OB, who I really trust. I work alongside with him in the hospital, as well as he's delivered all 3 of my children, and so I really do trust him and his knowledge and the research that he does. So I consulted with him, and I actually consulted with my kid's pediatrician to see what he thought as well. And they both thought that it was a good idea. And the research that had been shown by the CDC and the Women's Health Organizations all said that they recommended it at this point. So I went ahead and did that in the hopes that my body would build those antibodies and pass them off to my unborn child at that point, as well as create them for when I was nursing the baby when she was born.
Rachel, I'm with you. I mean, vaccines are the greatest thing mankind has ever created. It saved millions and millions and millions of lives. So we wish you the best. And 4 and 2 years old, they're going to get that vaccine in the next week or so?
Yeah, that is the hope. They have just been waiting for the go-ahead from Moderna.
That's right. Right. Be careful, Rachel, because you know they're going to be out there tracking your kids now.
Like they aren't already.
Hey, let us know how the kids are doing, okay?
We would love to. Thank you so much for letting me come on today.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Rachel Guthrie, Valley parent. She's enrolled her two kids in the vaccine trial. The kids are 2 and 4, and they will get the Moderna vaccine.
A little young for me, to be honest.
Not
me. Well, you're not 2 or 4. That's just a smidge. Smidge young for me.
That's okay.
Hey, but at the end of the day, again, we try these things and these sound great, and we'll see. And that's, you know, people are willing to do stuff like that. It's very, like, I've always said I would be fine being a tester, but I don't know if I would offer up somebody else as a tester. Like, I'd offer you up. You know, I'm like, yeah, go ahead. I don't care what you guys do with them. All right.
Fine to me.
1 year. Here in the pandemic. And you know what we've forgotten how to do? Behave, baby! So get us in chat show.
Bloom.com.
Arizona's news station. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The Gatos and Chad Show. Afternoons.
All right. She's on her way. 4:05. Former Arizona Governor Jan Brewer will join us. So are we going to be on... Are we going to have to pay for this audit? Is this on the taxpayers? Something we're going to talk to Brewer about?
I don't think so.
I think
this is all private money. That's why, like, One America News is helping, and you've got a lot of people. They're looking for people to donate. So if you've got money, you're like, I could burn it or give it to these people. Burn it. Jinx! You know. So.
I got to tell you, I'd burn it before I gave it to these people.
You know what I do?
I would absolutely
I'd not
burn
do
it.
Either of those because I'm not an idiot.
No, you're not.
We're not going to have to pay for it. The Republican Party may have to.
Well, let them pay for it then.
You know, but that's on them. That's on them.
So Brewer in about 10 minutes. It also seems that we've forgotten how to behave ourselves 1 year after the pandemic.
Speaking of that, do you know what was going on 1 year ago?
What?
Do you guys remember this? Maybe Becky does, and maybe Pablo does. Mandy, you weren't here. Producer Mandy knew. But remember all the helicopters everywhere? Because it was Cinco de Mayo, and people were all on the streets. And you're like, oh, my God. And you know, people were just like, we're still going to have Cinco de Mayo parties. And there were helicopters? Yeah.
Here in Phoenix?
Yeah. Remember when, like—
Where the heck was I?
You were telling everybody, don't go outside. You told Alonzo, don't you go outside.
Don't you dare.
Remember that?
Wasn't it St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah. Well, that, too. But it was just like, this felt like another one of those. It was an opportunity. It was past that St. Patrick's Day, but then there was another one, and everybody's like, we're doing this.
I'm going out tonight for Cinco
de Mayo. Mill Avenue was like packed.
Be fantastic.
I'm not going anywhere.
You're not going anywhere.
I'm
going
to go hit some golf balls, bro. All right.